My brothers and sisters, it seems pretty obvious to me that our readings, and especially our gospel today, focus on the virtue of faith. And most especially on the power that faith has to move mountains of mistrust and to heal our darkest blindnesses. But today's scriptures also challenge both you and me to discover what it means to be called and commissioned to become people of faith. So just what is this elusive virtue that we call faith anyway? And how do we get it? Now, I trust that most all of you have heard the definition that is often used to explain the meaning of faith, right? Faith is the assurance of things that are unseen. Faith is the assurance of things that are unseen. But as far as I can tell, Jesus didn't spend very much time at all trying to define or explain the meaning of faith. However, every time Jesus encounters faith in people, he identifies it, he praises them for it, and oftentimes he admonishes them to nourish and to develop it. And so, taking Jesus' lead, let's take a deeper look at how you and I come by faith in the first place. How can we recognize it in others and in ourselves? And finally, how can faith be nourished and developed? Well, to begin with, at its very root, faith is a gift of God. A consequence, as it were, of God's self-emptying, God's self-sharing, a pouring out of God's own self to be with us and to be in us. And as a gift, then, faith cannot be earned, it cannot be purchased, and it cannot be merited in any way. Faith always comes to us by virtue of God's initiative. At a time and a place of God's own choosing, faith then can be given to anyone at any time. And yet Jesus has revealed to us that through baptism, we receive the indwelling of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the very source of God's grace and gifts, especially faith, hope, and love. Through baptism, then, God reveals the intimate connection with you and with me that is grounded in never-ending, unconditional, and unmerited love. Love is the essence of God. God in us. And love is what nourishes and develops all the other gifts, including our faith. And faith empowers you and me to model and to bear witness to the healing power of God within us. Knowing that we are loved, then, destroys our fear, giving us courage through the conviction of faith. Faith that saves us by opening our minds and our hearts to the awesome healing power of the infinite mercy and love of God in us. Let me share with you this excellent example of just what that looks like. In the book, The Aladdin Factor, there's a story by Jane Nelson that could help a great many mothers and fathers. Nelson once received a call from a frantic single mother who was caught in a real power struggle with her 14-year-old daughter. The mother had found a six-pack of beer in her daughter's closet. So when her daughter came home, she said, "Okay, Maria, what is this?" "Looks like a six-pack of beer to me, Mom," her daughter answered. "Don't you get smart with me, lady. You tell me about this," said the mother. "Well, I don't know what you're talking about," the girl replied. "I found this six-pack in your closet, young lady. You'd better explain," her mother continued. Maria thought real fast and said, "Oh, yeah, I was hiding that for a friend." "You expect me to believe that?" asked her mother. Maria gets mad and stomps off to her room and slams the door. Does any of this sound a bit familiar to some of you, maybe? I know my wife and I raised two daughters, and some of it sounds pretty familiar to me. When the mother called for advice, though, Jane Nelson asked, "Why were you so concerned with finding a six-pack of beer in her closet?" "Because I don't want her to get into trouble," the mother answered. "I understand that," Nelson said, replied. "But why don't you want her to get into trouble?" The mother replied, "Because I don't want her to ruin her life." "I understand that," Nelson replied. "But why is it that you don't want her to ruin her life?" Finally, the mother got it. "Well, because I love her," she said. "Do you think she got that message?" Nelson asked. The answer is, of course not. "What do you think would happen," Jane Nelson asked, "if you started with that message? If you were to start with something like, 'Honey, I love you so much that I got really scared when I found this six-pack of beer in your closet. Could we talk about this? Because I'm really afraid you could get into trouble. Can we talk about it?'" In this approach, Jane Nelson says, you start by being vulnerable instead of conducting an inquisition that inevitably leads to denial. Starting from the position of love and vulnerability evokes closeness and trust, so that the child can then open up and work together with you on some kind of a solution. By the way, starting from a position of love and vulnerability also evokes closeness and trust in our other relationships as well. Our relationship with a spouse, relationships with our parents, a relative, friends, and yes, even our relationships with our enemies. My sisters and brothers, the gift of faith that you and I have received from God can move mountains of mistrust and heal our darkest blindness. But the greatest obstacle to that faith, though, is usually brought about by fear. But Jesus said, perfect love casts out all fear. You see, confidence in Jesus' love and care for Bartimaeus is what gave him the courage to perform such a profound act of faith by throwing aside his cloak to ask Jesus for the healing he needed. So how would throwing aside your cloak be a profound act of faith? Well, you see, In those days, the cloak you wore was the most important and obvious sign of your place in society. So important, in fact, that without a beggar's cloak, Bartimaeus didn't even have the right to beg, which was his only means of survival. And so for Bartimaeus, still blind, to throw his beggar's cloak aside and leave it behind was proof enough for Jesus that this man indeed had the faith he needed to be cured of his blindness. And that's why Jesus proclaimed that it was his faith that saved him. His faith. So the courage to act in faith, then, is only made possible by the assurance that God loves us. The courage to act in faith is only made possible by the assurance that God loves us. And like any good parent, God wants only the very best for us, you and me, his sons and his daughters. And so, on the day of our baptism, God said to you and to me, "This day you are my daughter. This day you are my son." Sisters and brothers, take courage. Get up. Jesus is calling you and calling me. His love is unconditional. His love is unmerited and never ending. And he has no interest in conducting an inquisition into our faults or our failings. When we turn to Jesus in faith, trusting in his boundless love for us, all he wants to know of us is one thing only. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?